James is saying one thing and Paul is saying the other. There could be some confusion. Let's look at the scriptures. Holy Spirit being our help and guide. Amen? We know the truth. The Bible, it was written by God. There is no contradiction, you see. If there's any confusion, it's in my mind. It's in me. Help me, Lord, to see the truth. Well, may God help us this morning. Now, there appeared that contradiction between Romans 3:28 and James 2. Specifically, we'll look at verse 24. James 2:24 again. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. These two guys, it seems like they're on a different side of the page. Let's talk about now words and how they use their words. Context is so important. Let's discuss first their use of the word faith. When Paul speaks of faith, he's referring to true faith, genuine faith, saving faith, that kind of faith that does save. I believe. How many works did the man on the cross, crucified next to Jesus on the right, how many works does he have to his credit for the saving of his soul? Absolutely none. But he believed. He believed. Saving faith. And Jesus said to him, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. There's no confusion. It's plain. It's clear. His faith saved him. That's what Paul is saying. So when Paul is using the word faith, he's referring to true faith, genuine faith, saving faith. When James speaks of faith, he's referring to a profession. Professions don't save. You can drop your knees and pray and say all kinds of words, but unless it's true faith, genuine in your mind and heart, the words don't save you. That's how James is using that word faith. Now, look at James. By the way, let's go back to Ephesians chapter 2 regarding Paul's use. Ephesians chapter 2, Paul's use of the word faith. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, we're familiar with them. Notice, here Paul writes to the believers in Ephesus, for by grace are you saved through faith. We're saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not works. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Paul makes very clear the distinction. Works are here, faith is here. Faith saved, faith, true faith in your life produces works. Works don't save. And that's really James's contention. Don't tell me you have faith when you have no works. Your life doesn't match it. All you've made is a profession. So again, the contrast is in their use of the word. So we got to look at the context. Again, Paul, when he speaks of faith, he's referring to true saving faith. When James speaks of faith, he's referring to a profession, and professions don't save. Now James 2, and we'll look at what we're talking about, James's use of the word faith here. Verse 14, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he have faith? Now, he's using the word faith there, but he's talking about the man who says he have faith. He says it. He professes it. That's the contention James has. You can talk all you want, he says. Show me something. Live before God like you've been changed. See? A lot of people claim to be saved. Hey, there were multitudes of people that followed Jesus in the early days of his public ministry. You see it in the Gospels. Multitudes. They come to see the miracles. They come to see have people healed and whatnot. And they were on board. They were on board. And they believed. They didn't believe to the point of saving faith. Because as time went on, the multitudes disappeared. And Jesus found himself with much smaller crowds. See? So what's missing? Well, saving faith. There's a profession. And that's what James is talking about. Look at verse 18 of James 2. Yea, man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I'll show thee my faith by my works. I will show thee. See? I will demonstrate unto thee I've got it. But you say that you have it, but I don't see it. See? God is helping us through James here. He's helping the believer to understand, if I truly believe, there should be a change in me. I should want to go to church. I should want to read my Bible. I should want to be a blessing to people. I should want to be and strive to be Christ-like. See? If I'm really saved. See? And so here's the big debate. So, that's their use of the word faith. Let's look at another word that they use. By the context, they both use the word works. Now, when Paul speaks of works, it's in reference to the law. And the law does not save. The law, the Bible tells us, was our schoolmaster. Look, if you go to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. Our schoolmaster, our teacher. It proves to us we're not good enough. Because nobody can keep the law. Nobody's ever kept the Ten Commandments outside of Jesus himself. Most people don't even know the Ten Commandments, by the way. You talk to people out there and you say, well, they believe, well, if you keep the Ten Commandments, do you keep the Ten? Oh, yeah. Well, do you know what they are? Have you ever told a lie? Have you ever taken anything that wasn't yours? My friend, you've broken the commandments. And if that's what saves you and you break the commandments, guess where you're going? Well, the commandments, the law, taught us that we are sinners and have our need of a Savior. So, in Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, the Bible says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. See, Paul writing this. But by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. When Paul discusses works, he's not talking about what's produced by saving faith. He's talking about relying on the works of the law, trying to keep the letter of the law. No flesh shall be justified because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So Paul's use of the word works is in reference to the law, the works of the law. Now James, when he uses, go back to James chapter 2. When James speaks of works, it's in response to true faith, which does save. Works don't save. True faith saves. But the works are in response to true faith, a faith that changes a man. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anybody be in Christ, any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You change. When I get saved, I changed. And don't worry, I'm still changing. I'm still trying to be more Christ-like. But it began when I got saved. My values began to change. What was important in life began to change. The things that I thought were so important, so necessary, I so desired to have and work for, weren't so important. Those were all temporary. And I started to look at more eternal things, values. And the idea of going to church, I couldn't get enough of it. And that whole year before, my wife was coming to this church. And I'd grown up Catholic. And we'd go to Mass, a 45-minute Mass, and we were done and gone. What is taking you so long at that place? What are you doing all that time? I couldn't get it. And I certainly didn't want to become saved. With all that commitment, you mean to tell me I'm going to have to go to church? Like that much? That long? And oh my goodness. I was fighting it. Besides, after all, I had a card-carrying member of the Catholic faith. And so I don't need to hear it. I'm Catholic. I'm all set. I'm all set. Confusion there. Faith. When James speaks of works, it's in response to true faith, which does save, a faith that changes a man. And 2 Corinthians 5:17 truly explains that you become a new creature. And so I began to change. I wanted to come to church. Couldn't get enough of it. Bible, bring the kids. It was wonderful what God was doing in me and in my family. Saving faith. I'd experienced saving faith. That's what Paul talks about there when he's talking about works. When James speaks of works, it's in response to true faith. Now, tragically, many poor, misguided souls assume themselves to be saved because they bowed their heads and said some prayer. They depend upon a bare profession as sufficient to justify them. And that's the contention that James is giving. Don't tell me you're saved. I mean, you spend your time in drunken revelry, living for self, for pleasures of self, and you're not saved. You're not changing. Now, it's true that many a Christian, you first get saved, there's a learning process. It's a time of growth. We don't expect everybody to be a mature Christian the day they got saved. It takes time. We don't expect an infant to start stand up and walk. It takes time. And there is various stages of Christian growth. The Bible tells we should desire, as newborn babes in Christ, we should desire the sincere milk of the Word, the Word of God, the milk of the Word. There's some deeper things in this book referred to as the meat. You're not ready for meat when you first get saved. I couldn't understand a lot of the things, but what I did receive, I could understand and believe. And as you grow, you begin to get more truth that you can handle and understand. And but again, that's the difference between Paul and James, their perspective of works. When Paul speaks of works, it was in reference to the law, and that doesn't save. Yet James says, when he's talking about works, he's talking about the works that are produced by saving faith. See, there's no contradiction there. One more word. They use the word differently, justification. Justification. When Paul speaks of justification, he speaks of being justified before God, with God. Go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. In verse 1, the Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith. There's no works here. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Justification means that I've been justified in the eyes of a holy and perfect God. My sins have been forgiven, washed away by the blood of Christ. And now I stand before God, a holy God, justified, acceptable in His sight by the blood of Christ. And it was applied by faith and faith alone. When you got saved, you did not get saved by doing something good. You got saved by trusting the good that Christ did on the cross for you. Faith, saving faith. And you're justified. You're made righteous in the sight of God. Now, when James speaks of justification, he speaks of being justified before men, in the eyes of men. You see? The context is different. So, notice, if you would, James 2, verse 18. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Key word there, show me. Show me. Demonstrate. Demonstrate before mankind that you're saved. That you're saved. That it's real, you see. They're not contradicting each other. They're using the words in a different context, see? And certainly, both are so profitable for us to know. Indeed, yeah, we are saved by faith and faith alone. But if you truly are saved, James says, I want to see it. If you're truly saved and justified before a holy God, then justified before us, prove it before us. Demonstrate it before us. See? That's a help to believers, an encouragement, a drive. The Spirit of God speaks to the believer and say, are you demonstrating true faith? See? They're not contradicting each other. You know, faith without works is dead, James 2:26 says. It's useful, it's useless, unreal, and vain. What good is faith? I say I have faith, and I don't live. I do nothing but seek to please self and take care of self. Oh, yeah, my family, you know. Like the heathen do, like the Gentiles do. I mean, the unsaved do. They love their family, they take care of the family. But the idea of having a heart for all of man as God does. Well, if we're saved, there should be a desire that others get saved. And not just my family, but have a heart like Jesus that others would receive Christ. So you give out tracts, so you talk to people about Jesus. That's a demonstration. Show your faith. Share your faith. So Robert Shannon says this, it has been said that separating faith and works is like separating heat and light from a candle. You know both are produced by the candle. You know that they're not the same thing. Light and heat are not the same thing. I can have a flashlight, no heat coming out of it, but I can have light, you say. And you cannot separate them. The flame of a candle, heat and light, they go together. You can't separate them. And faith and works, this is really the contention that James has. You can't separate them. Don't tell me you're saved. You may be giving light, you may show something, but I want to see something, I want to feel something, I want to know something, like the flame of a candle. William Booth said this, faith and works should travel side by side, step answering to step, like the legs of a man walking. First faith, then works, then faith again, then works again, until you scarcely distinguish which is one and which is the other. They go together. Saved people live differently. They live for God and for others. So the question would be, are you and I applying our faith? What are we doing that proves our faith? How do we look before James? If James were here, James were watching you, what would he say? I mean, if you're saved, you're living differently. Your vocabulary changes. My vocabulary changed. How about yours? A lot of things change. Some quickly, some over time. But there's a change that's wrought because of what happened in the heart. A saving faith. Would someone observing your daily life clearly and definitively identify you as a Christian? What are your fruits? Matthew 7:20. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. A statement that supports what James is proposing. So, three quick points in that regard, perspectives. Saving faith produces works. That is true. For others. Now, go back to chapter 2 of James. And verse 15 and 16, again, this is James's contention. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and none of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding, ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, and what doth it profit? You know, a hungry person can't eat, God bless you. They need more than that. Again, that's his contention. That's one of his examples. Acts chapter 10. Just a few examples regarding a saved man, saved woman, in regards to others. Acts chapter 10. And notice verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. You see, Jesus, our perfect example, did not need to be saved, but a demonstration of what a saved man looks to become. He being our perfect example, went about doing good. Go to Luke chapter 10. So we need, if a man is truly saved, a woman is truly saved, they go about doing good for others. And he gives in a teaching in Luke chapter 10 this parable of the Good Samaritan. And you recall, pick it up around 29, but he, willing to justify himself, said unto him, there's a lawyer, came to Jesus, who's my neighbor? And Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. By chance, there came down a certain priest by that way, and when he saw him, passed by on the other side. Well, there's a man, you have to wonder, was he saved? But James say, absolutely not. He's certainly not justified before the eyes of men. He went the other way. He didn't help the guy. And likewise, 32, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. Same thing. You got the Levite, you got the priest, you got the guys you think would be first and foremost, demonstrating their faith. 33, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. It's love for others, for people, that is the same love of Christ that in a born-again believer should be evident and demonstrated. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. Now, he went from there to the inn. How did he get to the inn? He walked. He wasn't on the beast because he had the guy on the beast. He put out because he cared. 35, and on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said to him, take care of him whatsoever thou spendest more. When I come again, I will repay thee. Even put out cost too, money. It cost him. 36, which now of these three, Jesus asked this lawyer, thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do likewise. Prove your faith, man. Prove your demonstration. Show me thy works, you see. Philippians 2, 3, and 4, time, let me read this to you. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. So there's a position taken of the saved person. Their perspective, their attitude is one of humbleness, and I'm not above that person that I don't help them, but I consider them of better, greater value than me. That's a perspective of the saved man, the saved woman. The man of the world of the considers himself above others, you see, not the saved man. Esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. So not only where you positionally see yourself with them, lift them higher, consider them of greater value than you, higher esteem, but man, serve him, help him, you see. That's saving faith that produces works for others. William Booth said, others, Lord, yes, others, let this my motto be, that I might live for others, that I might be like thee. Saving faith puts that in a person. And we begin to look outside of our own little desires to truly saved. And God help us to grow in that direction. You see? So saving faith produces works for others. Saving faith produces works for God. For God. You say, well, aren't they one and the same? Well, yeah. Go to Matthew 25. They indeed are, to a large extent. What is done for others is also counted as being done for God. Amen? In Matthew 25, Jesus' teaching, beginning of verse 35, for I was hungered and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger and ye took me in. Naked and ye clothed me. I was sick and ye visited me. I was in prison and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous say unto him and say, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of these, the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. So the saving faith, the true faith that changes you and me, that makes us have a heart for others, that humbles ourselves and lifts others up, and puts a desire in us to serve them, to minister unto them. God says, when you do that for them, you're doing that for me. Saving faith does that. In the Word of God, it should be demonstrated. Our daily reading with the Word of God. Your saving faith will produce that desire to read the Bible, to meditate upon it, to memorize the Word of God. Study to show thyself approved unto God, the Bible says. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. When I get saved, I just couldn't get enough of it. It's a desire. You know, we started courting her. You just hinged on every word she had to say. You couldn't wait to get on the phone, hear her voice, hear her talking. Something happened in here. And you were smitten. And you couldn't get enough talking with her. And she of he, you see. In true saving faith, you're in love with your God, with your Savior. And you want to hear his voice. You want to know what he likes. You want to know her favorite color, her favorite food. See, what does God want from me? You should hunger for this. Saving faith puts that in you, that you want to read it. You want to know what will please him. You want to know what will displease him, you see. Saving faith, it produces that in us. So it produces works for others. It produces works for God. And lastly, we're skipping things. We just don't have the time. Saving faith produces a work. And probably this could have been first. In us. And really that's what causes us to do for others and for God. We talked about it changing us. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he's saved, he's born again, saving faith, he's a new creature. Because you'll be given life, spiritual life. The Bible says you were dead, but whom he hath quickened, made you alive. Your spirit lives. Made you a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become known. The old man to the new man. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And notice the instruction here. Note that notes the contrast between the guy before he was saved and the guy after saved. Guy, gal. Notice in verse 22 of Ephesians 4, Paul says to them that ye put off concerning the former conversation. That's an old English word referring to not just your verbiage, but your lifestyle, how you lived, your behavior, which of course includes your verbal, your conversation. But concerning that former, the guy you were before, the old man, he calls it, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. And the drop down to 24. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So he's using this illustration of changing clothes. Put off the old guy and put on the new guy, you see. And how do you do that? Well, it's that work that God does within us. You see that verse 23 right in the middle. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Spirit of your mind. Things change. We say, I believe with my whole heart. You're not really believing him with the heart pump. It's pumping blood. You know, heart is a word that's used to depict or symbolize that which is central in you. The real you, the genuine you. It's happening up here. It's your mind. We're told here to renew your mind. God does a renewal in your mind, and it comes by time in the Word of God. So the saved man goes from here, where he was, the old man, and all his deceitful lusts, all that he followed before. And by the renewing of his mind, he gets saved, and he continues to grow by the renewing of his mind. There's a new work that God has produced in your life and mine to make us better, to make us profitable for God and others. It is God that does that work in us. But you can't do that work outside of this, of listening to him. You see, and that's how we get renewed in the spirit of our mind. Go to Romans 12. Romans 12, of course, we're familiar with verse 1. And then we'll go right into verse 2. I beseech you, Paul says, or I beg you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. This is an expectation of God. Well, how can you really do that? You can't do that in your flesh. The carnal man, the old man. 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed, changed. God doing the work in you and me by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove it as that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. That's saving faith producing a work in us. And as I said before, perhaps I should have in other order. This should have been the first one. It produces a change in us, and therefore the works that we produce for God and for others are demonstrated. And many a Christian, though having saving faith, have produced some works. There is a genuine salvation, but for whatever reasons, be it distractions and the allurements of the world and whatnot, have waned in their love and desire to please God. They need a renewing of their mind. They need more time in the Word of God to guide and direct them, to encourage them to do those things that please God and please others. Ephesians 2:10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. He's doing a work in us. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that He, which hath begun a good work in us, and you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God is looking to use and utilize you and I in this life to reach others, to bless others, thereby doing it to Him and for Him. Galatians 5:22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit, now there's God doing a work in us, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. These are natural fruit that comes from being truly saved. Having experienced saving grace, they are demonstrated in the life of the believer. So, let me close with this. Charles Spurgeon said this, here is a good searching question for a man to ask himself as he reviews his past life. Have I written in the snow? Will my life work endure the lapse of years and the fret of change? Has there been anything immortal in it which will survive the speedy wreck of all sublunary things? In other words, do I matter in this life? We have all been forever touched by Georgia Boyle's life, by Pastor Boyle's life. Will the same be said of you and I? That's what he's saying. Good question, he says. Have I written in the snow? He continues, the boys inscribe their names in capital letters in the snow. And in the morning thaw, the writing disappears. Will it be so with my work, Spurgeon says, or will the characters that I have carved outlast the brazen tablets of history? Have I written in the snow? Good food for thought. May we matter. May we encourage to renew our mind by staying in the Word of God. Number one, if you're not saved, get saved, man. Trust Christ with a saving, genuine faith, believing He died on the cross to pay for your sins. Say, I'm a sinner. Save me. Forgive me of my sins. You'll be born again. And then allow God to do a work in you, to change you. God help us all. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for its truths. And while there are times, Father, in our finite little minds, we have difficulty seeing things, and things may appear to be contrasts. In truth, we know by faith that they are not. And leaning upon the Holy Spirit of God to be our guide, to sort it out, help us understand the deeper truths that you have given to us in the Word of God. May we please you with our lives, be a blessing to others, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.